Lee, and you're listening to All Things Southern Live this Monday evening, coming at you from Northeast Louisiana. I've got Lisa Bevere, a sought-after international speaker, best-selling author, and the co-host of the Messenger television program, online with me today. Lisa's the author of Lioness Arising, Girls with Swords, and Fight Like a Girl. She's a frequent guest on Life Today and has been a speaker at Women of Faith, Joyce Meyer Conferences, and Hillsong Church. Lisa and her husband, John, have four sons, and I happen to know some grandchildren. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. And they live in Colorado. You can find out more about Lisa at lisabevere.com, but don't go there right now because I want you to hear this fascinating interview with my friend. Hello, Lisa.
Hey, Shelley, how are you doing?
I am great. I am just tickled pink to have you back on All Things Southern Life. My face is grinning so big it may break.
Well, and I'm smiling too. I'm super excited. You know, when I'm launching this book without rival, I said, I want to be on All Things Southern. I want to be on All Things Southern. Get me on that show. So thank you for having me on.
Oh, you are precious, and you are so welcome. And I should video, and I think when I get off of line with you tonight, I think I will just grab my little smartphone and just, you know, flip through the book and let you get a good laugh at the book, because it looks like it's 10 years old. It's dog-eared, it's underlined, it's starred. I mean,
I love that.
Oh, it spoke to me, Lisa. So I want to really be able to give you all the time that we need tonight. So I'm going to stop rambling and we're going to get into this book. It's called Without Rival. The reason, one of the many reasons why it was so captured my attention from the very first, Lisa, is because you talk about timely. It speaks directly to the culture that we are in that is so competitive, all about comparison and all about platform and, you know, who's edging out, you know, who and any particular day. And you write, you nail that subject. How did that happen? Why did you write Without Rival?
Well, first and foremost, it's pretty much selfishness. I write the books I need to read.
Come on.
So, you know, I want to deal with my own issues. But it really came from inspiration. Shelley, I had gone to South Korea, come home, was actually finishing up Girls with Swords, and I fell asleep at my laptop. Eight pages later of the letter T, I woke up. I thought, you know what? I'm going to just lay down. This is nothing I try to write right now is going to be good. So I went to lay down. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, I do not love my children equally. I sat up, I was like, did I bring home a blasphemous spirit from South Korea? What is that? You have to love us all the same. That's a bunch of nonsense. And I heard, I don't.
Yeah.
He said, same would mean one of you are replaceable. Equal would mean my love could be measured. Mm. He said, I do not love my children equally. I love my children uniquely. And I am a mom of four boys. And I do remember being pregnant with my second son. And, you know, I had been so excited about, yay, more children. But then I started to panic near the end of my pregnancy. I was like, wait a minute. I love my firstborn. And now I'm going to have to cut that love in half and share it with some stranger baby. I don't know how I feel about this.
Stranger baby.
I don't know. But the truth is, when you have a second child, you don't cut that love in half. Something totally new wakes up. And often what you love about one child will be completely different about what you love about another child. And that's the way God looks at us. And when he said to me, I love my children uniquely, I jumped up, looked up the meaning of unique, and one of the definitions was without rival.
Wow. You so know, my young friends, Lisa, would say we could just drop the mic right there. I mean, without rival.
Without rival. Absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. If we have no rival, why are we fighting? Why are we fighting for places at a table? Well, we don't need to. God is saying, come, come. And so what I wanted to do is unpack this identity without rival, because the truth is that I don't even know who I am until I have a revelation of whose I am.
Truth.
See, it's not about what I can do or how smart I am or what other people say. It's about who I belong to. I belong to the Most High God. And I need to let my Creator be the one who identifies, defines, And then when I find out who I am, I find out why. I find out my purpose in life. And yet we have a culture right now that is pushing people on the outside, putting pressure on them to try to discover who they are outside of their creator. And that became a real big need for me. And then the second part of that equation is, if we, as we discover we're unrivaled daughters and sons of a Most High God, then we need to know this unrivaled God. Because the more I know God, the more I pursue God, the more He reveals me. The worship of God actually makes me more fully human. It doesn't mean that I am debased. It doesn't mean that I am less than. It means that I actually am, for the first time, positioned to be who He created me.
Oh, that is so good. It reminds me, and this is going to be a really weak paraphrase, so don't anyone quote me out there, but it reminds me of a C.S. Lewis quote that says something to that effect, that we don't even have a self until we find who we are in God, because what we think is ourself is just what the culture has told us and what, you know, everyone around us has told us, and we don't even know who we are until we find who we are in Christ.
Absolutely. And so I tried to position it where it was identity without rival, a God without rival, and then once you've got those two things in order, you discover there's a promise without rival. And there's a lot of us who do not understand who we are and what we have. Because, see, if you don't understand who you are, you don't understand who is the one who is your rewarder, who is the one who's made you, then you don't become part of conversations that actually have to do with your destiny. And I was able to unpack the story of Abraham and Sarah, where Sarah is listening in, hiding in a tent, on a conversation she should have been part of. And it's so interesting because the angels, they're talking to Abraham, and they're like, hey, about this time next year, we're going to be here, and Sarah is going to have a son. And then Sarah just laughs inside of herself. She doesn't even laugh out loud. She laughs inside of herself. And they don't say, Sarah, why did you laugh? They said, Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And I think what had happened was Abraham and Sarah had been living, not just lying about being brothers and sisters, but had been living like brothers and sisters. And there are a lot of dynamics that only come forth through a passionate relationship with Jesus and with our spouse and with our church or whatever our relationships are. We need to be fully engaged. We need to be part of conversations. Yes, you know, Sarah had really blown it. She, the idea of Hagar was a nightmare. And, you know, then beating Hagar was also bad behavior. But here's the thing. Just because you've made mistakes in your past doesn't mean that you are a mistake. And if you think a mistake totally disqualifies you, then you're mistaken. We need to talk to a generation who is saying, hey, I think I am a mistake. You're not a mistake. You may have made mistakes. Moses made mistakes. But that does not avert the destiny of God.
If never. It reminds me of the Lisa Bevere. It reminds me of a Lisa Bevere quote. Can I tell you a Lisa Bevere quote? Since I just quoted C.S. Lewis, and I, you know, I read y'all the same, I'm just going to have to tell you, I think I have a Lisa Bevere quote here in my notes that I can find that says, it's never about your past. It's always about your future.
Absolutely. And we need to understand that because, you know, human mindset, we think it's because I was so bad. Well, yes, maybe you did a lot of stupid things and maybe there's a consequence, but the attacks were never really about your history. It's always about your destiny. And that is what the enemy is after. He's after our destiny. He really doesn't care about our history. He cares about our destiny. Now, he'll use our history to try to circumvent and undermine our destiny, but we need to not let him have that. And, you know, Shelley, You know, I get to travel, and here's the great thing. I just did Jesus Culture, and get to do things with Bethel, and get to do things with Hillsong. So I'm like the honorary Sicilian grandmother, and everybody needs to have a Sicilian grandmother. So I understand this is all things Southern, but we're just going to step into Southern Italy right now.
I'm cool with that.
I'm going to speak as a Sicilian grandmother out there, and I think we have a generation that has so much information. So much boundaries and walls and fences being jumped over their life. So much inundated with comparison and contrast and people bragging. But here's the thing. They don't know what they're called to do. And I meet so many young men and young women that come up to me after I'm done speaking, and they'll have that God thing burning inside of them, Shelley. They know, they're like, something's inside of me, something, I know I'm called to do something. And they'll say, I know the hand of God is on my life. I know I'm called to do something, but I have no idea what I'm called to do.
Right.
Well, I want to speak to that. Number one, often think that they don't know what they're called to do because they're called to do something that hasn't been seen before.
Right.
God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And then the second thing is they're waiting for the big thing, and they're not being faithful in the small things. So if you want to get to the new thing, you mm-hmm. just put your hand to the plow, like, you know, Elijah, he was plowing. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he found Elisha plowing, and he throws his mantle on him, and he said he just leaves everything. So he already knew in his mind that there was something on him more than plowing a field with oxen and a yoke, but he had to wait to that moment. And so many young people are not in the field doing what they can do mm-hmm. until God reveals that thing that they have no idea about. And God works with faithfulness. So you start being faithful with the small things, and then God opens big doors.
Amen.
But I do believe they're doing new things in new ways, and it's a new day.
And I'd like to piggyback on that, because, you know, it's true for the young women, the young men that you're speaking to. But one of the things that I'm passionate about right now when I speak to women everywhere is how the Word of God is replete, just constant with examples that God uses. I mean, the chronologically mature, the chronologically immature, you know, the spiritually mature, the spiritually immature. And but women of age all through the Bible. I mean, you know, you show me Esther, and I'll show you a woman before Esther who birthed the nation that Esther saved. I mean, all through the Bible, you have these examples of these older women.
Yeah. Well, and that's a last day example. This is you know, the without rival example. And I, mm-hmm. you know, I believe that we need to understand that we're heading into days and times that are perilous without rival and have opportunity without rival.
Mm-hmm.
And so I open up with identity, and I close out this book with being all in. Mm-hmm. I close out with martyrdom.
To
be honest with you, because there really could be a day and a time. But when we live all in, and it's really what we're called to be, we're called to live a life without rival. We are supposed to be friends to the world, not friends with the world. We're supposed to be a friend with God. We need to have sacred space. Mm-hmm. We can't know what people say about us more than what God says about us. And so I wanted to really put some words around things, and then also understand that even though we're people without rival, we will have rivals in our life. Mm-hmm. There is a purpose for rivals.
Now,
I mean,
talk a little bit about that purpose.
I mean, here's the thing. Saul is the one who made David a king.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the Goliath made him a national headline.
Right.
But a national headline celebrity does not a king make.
Uh-huh.
So Saul going after him, chasing after him, falsely accusing him, back and forth with him, that developed the heart of a king.
Yes, it did.
David.
Yes,
and we need to understand our rivals are given to us. Not that I think that God thinks it's fun to watch it, but our rivals are given in our lives to either best us or bring out the best in us. And most of them, we're not talking about friendly sports, we're not talking about Olympics, but even then you could say, you know, in competition you let your opponent drive you higher. So when we have an opponent, we need to allow that opponent to do what David did, drive us into the presence of God.
Oh,
into
that's
the
so
wilderness
good.
Where he alone is our reward.
That's so good. You know, we're almost out of time, Lisa, but I want to back up to something that was one of the favorite parts of the book for me that I really wanted to have a chance to chat with you about. I love the transparency that you write with. I'm just drawn to transparency because I'm a put it all out there type of person, because I think that's where people can learn from our lives and not when we try to, you know, gloss everything over. But you speak with such transparency. And in the chapter that I'm speaking, that I'm having, you know, where I'm going. You know, you don't have to tell that whole story, but you can speak to the part that I have underlined, and I know you would like to do it. And so what I have underlined, your words, it is far better to know God than to be known by man. Can you just speak to that a minute?
Absolutely. Well, so here's the thing. Yes, I was ridiculous, and there is a ridiculous story in the book, which hopefully nobody has done, but everybody can laugh at.
Here's
the thing. Mm-hmm. There's lists on earth, and there's mm-hmm. lists in heaven.
Come on.
And we need to decide, do we want the Facebook likes or do we want the lambs?
Come on.
You know, and what do we want? Do we want an eternal reward, or do we want our 15 minutes of fame? And
preach it.
We're in a culture right now that it feels like maybe the 15 minutes of fame is a better option, but it's not.
It's not.
And God is in theory. It's so clear. The Bible says, do not dare.
Uh-huh.
I don't dare to compare myself.
Come on.
I don't dare to commend myself, and I don't dare to classify myself.
Right.
Because you know what? When those three things happen in our life, Sally, uh-huh. we end up compromising.
True.
There is something more on you. I want every person that is hearing our voice, there is something more on you that you will never find in the area of comparison. You will never find in the area of self-commendation. Look at me, look at me. No, that's not going to do that to you. And classifying, that's called pigeonholing.
Yeah.
Who wants to be in a box of bird poop? I certainly don't. So you need to understand, if Paul said, I count all of my classifications as dog dung, then we need to stop climbing this hill of popularity, because it really is.
It's a stinky hill. It's a hill we wouldn't even want to walk in, and yet we're trying to climb on it.
And it follows you.
Oh, it's always a blessing to talk to you, Lisa. I hate that we're out of time, but wait, before we go, y'all have got to go get Without Rival, and you've got to visit Lisa at her website. That's lisabevere.com. I'm sure there are other ones, Lisa, but they probably redirect, right? So we can.
And Facebook, they can find it on Facebook. Can I say one thing?
Sure.
You know that this has been such a felt need. Do you know that this book has been a USA Today bestseller, as well as it got as low as 27 on Amazon, and it has also been in Publishers Weekly. So
people are
ready to deal with their dog poop.
Super excited to
hear this.
I mean, it just came out, right? Didn't it come out just a week or so ago?
This came out August 16th.
August 16th.
It's been out for a little bit.
Well, that just blesses my socks off. That just pleases me. I thank you for bringing that to our attention. And I thank you, Lisa, so much for being back by All Things Southern Life. God bless you.
Anytime. I love you, Sally.
All right, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.